Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's his message, The Basic Steps of Spiritual Maturity.
Begin finding in your Bibles the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And spiritual health, of course, is so very vital because spiritual health produces spiritual growth in your life. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, 3 John 2, it says, I would that you would be prosperous, or prosper and be in health. I think it says in the ESV, I pray that all may go well with you. That means prosper with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Hey, how healthy would you be physically if your body was the same health as your soul? Some of you might be in the hospital right now. That you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So just as we need to be healthy physically and work to that end and do everything that we can, because you know, if you're doing preventative work and you can correct some things, you can change your diet, your exercise program, you can be inspired and motivated to do better in your eating and all the rest in order to get to tip-top shape to be physically healthy. Well, I want to talk about a checkup of your soul, your spirit. And that's what Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about, chapters 5 and 6. We're going to start at verse 11. About this we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food, meat, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish between good from evil. Underscore that word discernment, circle it, and then also trained. Discernment. We are trained in discernment and discipleship. And then just right on to chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ, that is the basics, that new believers understand, and let us go on to maturity. That's what Hebrews is about. That's what the Bible is about. It is moving on onward and upward in our Christian's life into full stature in Christ. Every Christian is to be a growing, maturing Christian. We're not there yet, but we ought to be on the way. C.S. Lewis said this, all who are called to salvation are called to discipleship. No exceptions, no excuses. A disciple, what is a disciple? A disciple is a growing Christian. A Christian growing in faith, and it's time for some of us to take our faith to the next level. To grow up. Now, babies are cute. And it's great to see little children grow up. And Jesus welcomes little children. He said, let the little children come to me. He said, unless you become like a little child and be converted, you'll never see the kingdom of God. We come to Christ in childlike wonder and faith and never lose that wonder. But why we are to be childlike, we're not to be childish. We're not to be immature. And if that same child who's now two or three and toddling grows up and keeps toddling and never develops, they do not develop their promise or their potential, then that, of course, is sad. It's great to have babies in the church, new births in the church. That's a healthy church. But when we are born again, then we begin to grow. And frankly, some of you, you've been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, many more, some, and you're not wiser, better, stronger. You haven't been growing. You're not maturing. Now, in contrast, some of you are old Christians and you're tired and you've kind of given up with the attitude you know, been there, done that, heard all this before. I've heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons. I know the Bible. I know the stories. I know the routine. I know church. And you're just kind of stuck. You've kind of quit growing. You know, you never stop growing in the Christian life, no matter how old you get. I'm still learning things every day from God's Word and God's Spirit teaching me. You never, never. Even the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest Christian in history, in my view, he said in the book of Philippians, he said, not that I've obtained this already, not that I've achieved this. I haven't arrived. We don't arrive until He arrives, when He comes for us. But the fact is, even Paul said, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm growing there. I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And some of you, unfortunately, are like that, you know, an older person. You know, you have to get older, but you don't have to get colder. You know, you have to get older, but you don't have to get old. You can be young in heart and young in spirit and filled with life. And if that's true physically and emotionally, how true it is spiritually. You never stop. You know, one of the signs of maturity and humility is you know what you don't know. Right? Arrogance is you think you know everything. You've heard it all. But humility is to know what you don't know. And there's so much more that I need to know that I don't know. If you're the smartest guy in the room or gal in the room, you're in the wrong room. And you need to stay hungry and stay humble, growing in the Word of God. Just like an athlete, a team needs to stay hungry and humble. As growing Christians, we need to stay hungry and humble. Keep pressing on to the degree that you not only are getting stronger yourself, you're knowing some things now, you're growing in some things now that you want to give it away to others. That's why the writer says to us here, you ought to be teaching others by now. You ought not to be that baby who's just taking, but if you're growing up in your faith and into the full stature of knowing Christ, and that's the goal. The goal is Christ-likeness. The goal is character. The goal is godliness. And if you're growing in that direction, then there comes a time when you're going to share that with others. And when you are trained in discernment, that means that you ought to be able to teach others. Now, why do some Christians succeed in the Christian life and others fail? Why is it that some start out the Christian life and they run so well, but they collapse at some point, they fail, they fall? Some arrested development, they don't get out of the starting blocks, and yet others will run the right race of life and finish with a flourish, finish well. Hands held high, breaking the tape, bursting onto the streets of glory. What's the difference? Thought about that a lot. What's the difference? You know what it is? It's right here. Choices. Choosing between good and evil, having discernment. Mature people, maturing believers, have discernment about right and wrong, good and better, good and bad. And they make good choices in their lives. Because our choices make our character. Our choices make or break our character. What is character? Someone said character is who you are when no one is watching. Or character is what you are, who you are in the dark. But I like this on character. Character is the sum total of the choices you make in life. Character is the sum total of the choices you make in life. And you add it all up, and whether it is good or evil, whether it is right or wrong, that's what enables you to grow inwardly, grow in your character. And that's what we're talking about. First, we make our choices, then our choices make us. First, we make our choices, and then our choices make us. Now, we make hundreds of choices every day. Most of them don't matter a whole lot. What we think about, what we do, what we eat for lunch, what we put on. I mean, I got up this morning, I made a bunch of choices. Those kinds of things, they don't matter. They may be simple, not so significant, but they add up to your life. But other choices mean everything. There are choices that mean life or death. There are choices that mean usefulness or non-usefulness in the kingdom of God. Again, discernment is the mark of maturity. That's making wise choices. Discernment is making wise choices in life. And the biggest choice you make is to follow Jesus Christ to begin with, and then to choose to grow in your faith, moving beyond curious and convinced to committed, and growing and maturing. Don't be careless, don't be casual or non-committal. A growing Christian seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you will either go forward as a Christian or backwards. There's no in between, really. You will either be progressing or regressing. You will either be taking ground for the kingdom of God or losing it. And so much of this is on us. It's on you.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Basic Steps of Spiritual Maturity. Right now, it feels a bit like our world is coming apart at the seams. And as believers in Christ, it's critical we clearly represent a biblical worldview to a watching world and bring the healing and hope that's so desperately needed. We want to equip you to provide the answers our world is asking for by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. It's our thanks for your gift today to help take the healing power of the gospel to more people around the world. So please call today to give and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Basic Steps of Spiritual Maturity.
Your Christian growth is on you. What you choose to do or not to do. It's like riding a bicycle. Riding a bicycle, really, there's only one direction, and that's forward. To stall is to fall. You can't go backwards, pedal backwards on a real bike. You go forward. And I'm not talking about a stationary bike where you just stand in the same place. I hate those things. But the Christian life is always moving forward. Are you learning? Are you getting better? Are you getting stronger? Are you getting wiser? Are you getting better? Are you moving forward? Is it onward and upwards or downward and backwards in your life? That's what this is about. And the secret, now there are many secrets, open secrets really, as to the basics of spiritual maturity and how you get there. I could talk a lot about prayer and the priority of prayer. I could talk about spiritual disciplines in your life of various kinds, fasting, giving, worship. But the main thing is loving and listening, learning, living God's Word. God's Word. Understanding God's Word. That's where discernment comes. That's where maturity grows. in your life. It's God's word. Joshua 1:8. Listen to it. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be able to be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There it is. I love God's word. I love to hold it up. There's something just so powerful, symbolically powerful, about the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We learned earlier in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God, this book, is active, alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. There's power in God's word in your life. The Bible is alive. Martin Luther said, it has hands that take hold of me, feet that chase me down, eyes that search after me. It's the word of God. But here's the key. When you're hearing God's word like you are right now, or whether you're reading for yourself and reflecting, is that you not only hear it, but that you receive it. What I'm doing is throwing the word out. Now the question is, are you going to catch it? Now, you know I love baseball, so I brought a couple of baseballs here today. And we're going to play a little catch. So, what's the most important position on a baseball field? Somebody says the pitcher. Well, 70% of winning baseball probably is pitching. But there's an unsung, unheralded player on that field that's really the quarterback of the defense, and that's the catcher. Catcher typically has to be a smart guy. They talk about a catcher wearing the tools of ignorance. But a catcher has to be smart, call the signals, run the plays from home plate, a lot of different things. Has to have chemistry between the pitcher. But the main thing he has to do, of course, is catch the ball. You could have the greatest pitcher on the planet pitching, but if the catcher doesn't catch it, that's a recipe for losing baseball. You're going to lose, no matter how good the pitch is. Now, we do our best to pitch well as we can. We get prepared, and I typically want to throw fastballs right down the middle. Not too many curveballs, no change-ups, no squirrely screwballs, things like that. Because, you know, I had one guy say to me, Graham, I like your preaching. You throw fastballs. And so I've always tried to, you know, because my goal it's not for you to miss it, but to hit it, to get it, or if you're a catcher, to catch it. So it's critical, if I throw you the ball, that you catch it. Oh! He almost caught it. Now that's what happens a lot of times when I throw it to you. I mean, I have the responsibility to throw it out there, but you have the responsibility to catch it. Are you receiving? What kind of receiver are you? Same thing is true, I mean, name any sport, football. I mean, quarterback's got a big job, but he better have good receivers. So receive the word of God when it comes your way. I've preached all over the world through interpreters, many languages, all kinds of churches across America through the years, small churches, big churches, Baptist churches, non-denominational churches, Pentecostal churches. You know, I look forward to growing opportunities, wide open doors. We preach the gospel through PowerPoint and media, and I appreciate the opportunities to go and more times to go in the days ahead. But here's the thing. When I'm preaching, again, no matter what kind of church I'm preaching in, I can tell in the first 5 or 10 minutes the spiritual health of that congregation, based on their ability to receive the word of God. And believe me, when you're up here doing this, and when you've been doing it as long as I have, I mean, you see everything. We need one of those cameras on my head that can see you and put you on the screen while I'm preaching. You need to see just what I see sometimes. I mean, there's some people, when they come, they're already checked out. Their eyes, you know, and screensaver, it's gone. Some people are looking at their phones, catching up on social media. That's why it's good to bring a real Bible and not a fake phone, because I may think you're looking at your social media when you're actually looking at the Word of God. But be that as it may, I just like having a Bible like this. I like to mark it up and write notes in it. But I digress. Some people are all checked out. Some people, you know, they come and they cross their arms. I mean, maybe not literally, but I can see it in your eyes. You know, you put a little do not disturb sign around your neck and say, you know, you got about 30 minutes to work on me. Do your best. Some people sleep. But you have a responsibility to hear God's word, to lean in. Bring your Bible. I would encourage you to take notes, truly, because you will just get so much more out of the message. And the take home, the takeaway will be greater. When I study my Bible, I'm always taking notes. I keep a journal, and I have a, in my quiet time, and frankly, you know, the world is yelling at us. There's so much of the world in our heads right now, in every way. We need to get more of the Word and less of the world in us. Less screen time and more quiet time with God. Less Facebook and more faces in the book. That's what we need. And when you come to church, be ready, be responsive, receiving the Word of God. The Word of God transforms us. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way your life changes is for your mind to change. You stop believing the lies of this world and you start believing and living the truth of God's Word. That's growing. That's discerning between good and evil. So it's time to get off the ABCs and get to D, which is discipleship. Get off the elementary kindergarten platform and start growing in your faith. A couple more scriptures and then we're done. Look at Proverbs 8:34. It's in the New Living. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. What a beautiful word picture that is. Happy are those who are outside the gates of God and waiting just for a word from Him. That very first psalm says, blessed is the man who doesn't take counsel in the world, the things of this world, nor stands in the way of sinners, seat of scoffers. But look at this, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of God, the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. To meditate means to chew it and to think about it, to ponder it over and over in your mind. So don't just read and think, okay, I read my Bible today, but meditate upon God's Word, memorize God's Word. The most important spiritual development and discipline of my life has been memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture. I was in a situation this week, I needed just to be able to remember and rehearse some scriptures that I'd memorized long ago. God will bring that up. It'll just bubble up in your soul. But you got to get in the Word and get the Word in you. The habitual habit of memorizing Scripture will help you to grow. It will force you to grow. Now, just listening to me or someone else preach every week, that's kind of processed food. I'm breaking it down. I'm cutting your meat for you. Sometimes you have to cut the meat up for a child in bite-sized portions. But when you're a growing, developing disciple, then you start eating solid food and you want more. You want meat and not just milk. Feed yourself, eat the meat, and grow up your character into Christ's likeness so that one day you'll burst the tape, celebrate your victory in Jesus.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Basic Steps of Spiritual Maturity. Welcome back to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A lot of Christians are asking right now, what can I do to help turn our culture around? The answer is, you can bring the healing power of the gospel into the public square. And we want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, as thanks for your gift today. You'll discover what God's Word says about issues like the sanctity of human life, evolution, and other big topics facing our culture today, so you can be equipped to be a loving influencer for Christ. So call now and give to help mend our broken culture with the gospel and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
I want you to know how grateful I am for you and your support of PowerPoint. Your prayers, and certainly we need your prayers that the gospel would go forward and the Word of God would communicate with this generation through radio is such a great medium. And then for your financial support, I want you to know that what you give, we invest right back into the mission of Christ through PowerPoint. And your gift enables us to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus with the world. And I promise you, lives are being changed. We hear from people every single day. I meet people everywhere I go whose lives have been dramatically and powerfully changed by Jesus Christ through the preaching and teaching of God's Word through PowerPoint. So thank you. If you're a regular giver, if you're a partner with us in giving to PowerPoint, thank you, and thank you so very much. If you haven't yet given to PowerPoint, would you consider doing that for the first time? Please consider your gift today, and we will invest it back in the work and the witness of Jesus around the world.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, CultureWise, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. But join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about how to build up your spiritual endurance. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.